presence and of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that draws you. It doesn't push you away. It's not harsh. It's not heavy. It's not scary. It's not spooky. How many know it's precious? It's the power. The anointing of the presence of the Holy Spirit is what's already been spoken over today, that when the anointing of the Lord begins to flow in the house. And listen, we didn't come here to find the Holy Spirit. You brought it with you. And when you released it, it became not just a trickle or a stream. It becomes a river, and the river becomes a sea, and it becomes something that you step into and you experience because you begin to feel the flow, because the Bible declares that out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. If you know you got living water inside of you, you better let it flow. Amen. And I refuse to live out of only external resources. Come on, somebody. We're always waiting on something, waiting on heaven to come down or waiting on God to show up. But how many know He's already in you? He said, I'm going to send you Emmanuel. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us, God in us, God through us. And so the anointing and presence of the Holy Spirit is in you. And when you leave it here today, it doesn't stay on the seat till you get back next time. It'll go with you to Walmart. How many are thankful for the Holy Ghost in Walmart? You better believe it. I don't go anywhere without the Holy Ghost. The presence of God. The understanding of who we are. Living from a place of victory. As what's already been shared, we're not trying to attain to something. We're living out of what God has already provided and what God has already placed in us. The anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit that in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. How many know in the 50 days following Easter until Pentecost, that's what Penta means, 50. It's the 50 days from that time. But how many before that, Jesus breathed on His disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. But He also told them, He said, but I want you to go to the upper room till you be endued with power from on high. How many know the Holy Ghost can be breathed upon you, but it's the power of God that we release. He said, you're going to be endued with power from on high. How many are thankful for the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's indwelling in you? Hallelujah. And to the extent or the amount that we are willing to release what's already in you and in your belly is to the extent that we see the demonstration of what God wants to do. Do you believe that this morning? One nod. Amen. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Come on, we got some amens in the house. Hallelujah. And so we didn't have to come to a temple this morning and make a sacrifice and go through the altar or the laver, or we didn't have to go through the steps. How many know the scripture said you are the temple? And if you are the temple, He said, know ye not that you are the temple, what? Of the Holy Ghost. Good morning, temples. So when we come together, we are living stones. We are the house of the Lord assembled in the house. And man, when we bring our A game, when we bring a willing heart of expectation, God moves among us. And the power of healing in the house this morning. I'm looking for testimonies. Amen. I'm looking for reports to come back clear. I'm looking for doors to be open. I'm looking for avenues to be made. I'm looking for the prayers answered as God begins to restore and is restoring. And do you know that when that happens, it's not only what happens in this house, but it's what happens. I believe God is stirring people in their bedrooms today. I believe God is touching people on their couches. I believe God is touching people behind a camera this morning. That if you turned on by accident or you found us on purpose, the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit is flowing out of this house to households all across our nation today. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. How many know Joel prophesied that in the last days I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Somebody say all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Visions and dreams are going to be reality. The bondservants, the maidservants, my anointing poured out on all flesh this morning. Aren't you thankful for that? It's for the whosoever will. And whoever responds to that, the anointing and the flow of that is at our access this morning. Amen. Pentecost is not just a day. It's not just a Sunday. It's not just a feast. It's an experience. It's a habitation. It's a house. It's our dwelling place. It's who we are, our identity. It is our DNA this morning. Amen. And so I was looking at some scriptures this morning. I'm going to try to be sensitive to the clock. However, I obey the Holy Spirit and not the clock. Is that all right? Your kids are staying after church anyway. You don't even have to feed them. So there you go. Amen. But I do want to share a couple things this morning. The Lord dropped this thought in my heart the other day, and I didn't know where it was going to go other than just this one particular scripture. But I felt like God began to open some understanding to me in this. And then as I began to look at it in view of Pentecost and the expression of Pentecost, it just kept getting bigger and bigger. So I'm not going to probably get it all out there today, but I'll give you some thought and some homework. By the way, thank you for those who did your homework the other week and reached out and said, what was that person's name again? I had people say, what was our homework again? The rest of you, we'll talk after church. Amen. Abishag was her name, right? Amen. Abishag. Hallelujah. It was a woman who had access to the king. And she knew how to be close to the king. But I'm going to go to 1 Kings chapter 18 today, and it's a very popular portion of scripture. I'm going to 18, 1 through 6, and then I think 41 through 46, or whatever I gave to media team, that's what we're going to preach on today. How about that? But in this scripture it says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. Now let me preface this, because the chapter before is when Elijah shows up at the house of the widow of Zarephath, and there has been a famine, and Elijah's been living by a brook, and he's been fed by ravens, but God dries up the place where he is and says, you need to move out of that place, but I have caused a widow woman to sustain you. So without preaching that again, I want to preface that that's where we are coming from. He said, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for so it was while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them 50 to a cave and had fed them with bread and water. And Ahab had said to Obadiah, go into the land to all the springs of water and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive so that we will not have to kill any livestock. So they've divided the land between them to explore it. Ahab went one way by himself and Obadiah went another way by himself. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. I always want to say Carmel. If ever there was a mountain called Carmel, come on, somebody. And Elijah went up, huh? It's in Hershey. It's in Hershey. It's where Carmel is. Gotcha. Carmel, to the top of Carmel. It's right up there with the donut button, if you know what I'm saying. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed down to the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small of a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Everybody say severe drought. Elijah prophesied that there would be no rain, and the heavens were shut up until the time that he began to speak and to pray and to say, prepare your chariot and get ready for the sound of rain. Now, I was thinking about this scripture the other day, and I have preached, prepare your chariot, get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a, I preached that many, many times. And how many know sometimes you've got to get in preparation for what God wants to do? But that's not what struck me about it this time. As I was reading the scripture, and I think maybe it was when the girls were doing their blessed friend things the other night that this thought occurred to me. But what I loved out of this scripture when I began to look at it is Elijah came to the place during drought and positioned himself. The scripture said he went up and bowed down and he put his head between his knees in a posture of prayer and he began to pray that the Lord would send rain. Amen. However, he sent the servant up to the mountain to see if it had rained. And the servant came back with a negative report and said, nope, it's not raining. He said, go again. Come back with a negative report. It's not raining. Go again. Come back. Seven times, the scripture said, seven times he goes up to the mountain looking for rain. And every time that he comes back to the man of God, every time he comes back to the prophet, every time he comes back to Elijah, Elijah has never changed his posture in view of a negative report. Come on, somebody. This is a picture when he put himself in a posture and he began to pray. He never changed and he never flinched, no matter how many times the servant said, nope, it's not working. Nope, there's no rain. No, we're still in a famine. No, we're still in a drought. Not one time does the scripture tell us that Elijah ever changes his posture in the voice of negativity. And I wonder sometimes, and I'll just preach to myself this morning, I wonder sometimes how many times we change our posture when the diagnosis comes back different, or when we look at something on media that changes our mindset, and instead of our focus being on what we're praying for and what we're decreeing and declaring, we get all out of posture. And we start to believe the report. The servant he sent to the top of the hill was telling the truth. Come on, somebody. He's telling the truth. There's no rain. He said, don't stop. Go again. And what I also see in that is not only does Elijah not change his posture or change his belief or change his declaration that it's going to rain, he teaches his servant to build some spiritual muscles, and you don't give up just because you don't see it. Come on, somebody. You might not see it the first time. You might not receive it the first time. It might be the second, the third, or the fourth, but don't you quit looking to the heavens until you see what God has promised you. Because you know what? Every time he climbed up that mountain, he was building up some muscles, some calf muscles, some faith, some belief. And he's going up to the top of the mountain, and finally he says, I see something. It's just a little bit, but it's something. And how many times, I wonder, sometimes do we take the voice of negativity over it and we let it put us out of a posture of what God already said was true and what he said he was already going to do, and that was to bring rain on the earth. He never changed his posture with a negative report. I mean, sometimes you got to prepare your chariot. You got to prepare your chariot and prepare your heart to receive increase and to receive the word of the Lord. But here's what also struck me with this, as powerful as that is. How many know rain was not God's design? Amen? An external rain, we just talked about it, an external rain was not God's design. And sometimes we'll pray, let it rain, open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain. How many know the rain is not just coming from here down, it's coming from here out. And we're learning that we're not seeking for an external source of refreshment, but the river of living water is in our belly. So as powerful as praying for rain and preparing your chariot and getting yourself ready, how many know there's something even greater than that? Do you know that God's design in the beginning was not that the earth be watered by rain? Where was it watered from? The dew, the mist, it came up out of the earth. How many know that was God's design on how to water the earth was from an internal source? Hallelujah. And so we sometimes have to understand that the rain is not something that we externally are constantly praying for God, give me this. We're praying for God, help me to operate in what you've already given me. Help me to trust the power and the resource of the spring of water that's already in me. Because I'm going to tell you, there's sometimes I don't go to the internal source. I live on an external mindset sometimes. I know I'm the only one in the house, but how many know sometimes there are things that puts me out of posture. Am I the only one in the house? And I get shaken and I get out of posture and I got to remind myself, oh no, that's not who I am. I do not live out of an external resource. I live out of the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me. And I'm learning to refuse to live in any other way than what's already spoken out of a posture of victory. I may not understand what I see, and I may not see it yet. Come on, somebody, say yet. I may not see it yet, but the promises of God are yes and amen. And so we come on over then to 2 Kings chapter 2. And we're going to talk about Elisha. His name is actually Elisha. We've said it Elisha my whole life, so I don't know how to say it any other way. So however you say his name. But how many know Elisha deals with the water being bitter? How many know rain can be an old covenant mindset in a lot of ways? Rain was external then. We live an internal spring or force of the power of the Holy Spirit. But in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, one day the men of the city said to Elisha, you can see for yourself, master, how well our city is located, but our water is polluted and nothing is growing. Let you think about that for a minute. Our water is polluted and nothing grows. He said, bring me a brand new vessel, bowl, cruse, and put some salt in it. They brought it to him. He then went to the spring, sprinkled the salt into it, and proclaimed God's word. I've healed this water. It will no longer kill you or poison your land. And sure enough, the water was healed and remains so to this day, just as Elisha had said. How many know Elijah is symbolic of an old covenant prophet? How many know John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah? And he said, I come to baptize you with water. But there's one who's coming who is mightier than I. And he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Do you know there's a greater baptism than just water? It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so when we see in Elisha, we see a double portion of who Elijah was. I mean, Jesus was the expression of Elisha in the earth, an expression of the double portion. John the Baptist come to prepare the way. He said, but I'm not he. I am not the one, but I come to prepare the way. And so he comes into the city and they said, oh, prophet, the water is polluted. There's a mixture in the water. I mean, sometimes the pollution of in the water can be mixing old covenant and new covenant. When we want to live out of the legality of the old covenant instead of living out of the grace of the new covenant. And so the water was polluted. There was pollution in the water. It was not good. How many know one of the best values or treasures in a city is the water that is there? Now, you guys ought to know this because we live in Berkeley Springs, and we win international contest on the water that is here. Amen? And so, I don't know about you, but we have been in a couple of different houses now. One had town water, one had really bad rust water, and one finally has good water. I mean, there's something to be said for clear, distinct water. Hallelujah. And if you've ever had bad water, you know that what you got to do is get yourself a water softener. And what do you put in the water softener to fix the water? You got to put the salt in it. Amen. And so Elisha comes to a situation and they said, the water is polluted. But there's a remedy for the pollution. Now, this is what the Lord spoke to me this morning as I was pondering this. It's not just the mixture of law and grace or the mixture of old covenant, new covenant. But how many know every time I pick up my phone and I read something that causes my stress level to rise, I am polluting the water inside of me. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching now. When I watch the news and I allow it to affect my mindset and I find my voice level go up about this high, I realize I'm polluting the water that's inside of me. And when I take the voice of negativity and it changes me out of my posture of prayer and reverence and praise, I am polluting the water that's inside of me. Because Jesus began to speak to the woman at the well, and he says to her, if you knew who it was and who was sitting before you, you would ask me for a drink, and I would give you a drink that you would never thirst again. And she said, sir, this is a deep well, and you don't have a bucket. Not give me that drink. She says to the creator of the universe, the man who separated the mountains and the seas and the oceans and the depths. And she says to him, but you don't, sir, have a bucket. He said, the water I'm talking about you is going to spring out of your belly like a well of living water. It is not an external source, and it's not the well of Jacob. She said, this is Jacob's well, and it's very deep. You know, the name Jacob speaks of deceit, trickery, double-mindedness, law, old covenant. If you are drinking from the well of Jacob, you're going to always be thirsty. But when you start to drink from the man whose name is Jesus, I'm about to give you a drink of water, darling, that you are never going to thirst again. But not only are you not going to thirst, you are going to become an artesian well for a city who's never heard about Jesus. And she said, I went back to the city and I said, you got to come see this man who told me all things ever I did. I don't know, I might be wrong, but I think I have encountered the Messiah. And he not only read my book, but he gave me an answer and he changed who I was. Come see this man. She was a Samaritan. She had no right to even ask for a drink. Jesus said, go ahead, darling, go ahead. That's my revised version. Go ahead, darling. Go ahead and ask for a drink, because I want to give you a drink more than you even want to ask. And he said, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. He tells Elisha, you go get some salt and put it in the water, and the salt is going to heal the water of the city and the pollution that's taken place. Jesus comes along and says, what'd he say? You are the salt of the earth. What? You are the salt of the earth. You are the purifier. You are the salt that will cleanse the impurities that's in the water, that the pollution that's in the water. Because when somebody comes to me and says something negative, I can either allow it to pollute my water, or I can say, but you don't know that I'm the healed of the Lord. You don't know that I'm the righteousness of God. You don't know that I'm the salt of the earth. You don't know that I'm healed. You don't know that I'm whole. You don't know that I'm righteous. And I can either let it pollute my water, or I can be salt and say, oh no, oh no. Because out of my belly flows a river of living water, and I refuse to live polluted. Because Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. You're a city set on the hill that cannot be hid. You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel, but you put it on a candlestick and you let it shine. Come on, somebody in here got to get salty this morning. We got any salty people in here this morning? I need some salt shakers in the house that are ready to show up with some salt shakers and say, you are the healed of the Lord. Let me tell you what. You eat a country ham sandwich when you leave here, and what's going to happen? Somebody going to get thirsty. Man, I go to the Chinese restaurant and eat that buffet. And then I shop. I got to get me something to drink because I've had way too much salt. Come on, salt will make you thirsty. And if you ever really get thirsty, you will come to a well for the man who don't have a bucket. And he will make you an artesian well. And he will cause something to spring up from out inside of you, not external. Yep. See, I'm not going to the mountain anymore and looking for rain. Yep. I'm going to start healing the waters around me. I'm going to start declaring who you are in Christ. I'm going to start speaking wholeness and healness to situations that look like they're in despair. And instead of preaching gloom and doom, I'm going to start letting the lion of the tribe of Judah begin to roar from inside of me, because you cannot roar and whine at the same time. Come on, somebody. You're either going to roar like a lion or you're going to meow like a kitty. And the problem with our church is, churches, is we've been meowing instead of roaring. Come on, somebody. We start taking the word of everybody else, and it starts to silence and to silence and to silence who we are. But I want to declare in this house that there are some people that begin to stand up and be salty in the earth and begin to roar out of the line of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Not going to prevail. Jeremy already told you this morning. We're not waiting on it to happen. It's already happened. And that's the tribe that we're from. And Judah means praise. When we begin to roar in a voice of praise and remember who we are, what are you letting today pollute your water? What are we letting pollute the water? I'm guilty sometimes. And I look at things and I start to see the negative side of it. And I got to begin to get in a posture again that says, I'm not flinching, even though the servant bring a negative report. I'm not flinching, not backing up, and I'm not canceling out the word of the Lord that has been spoken. The prophetic word declared, you will see rain, regardless of what you see. Prepare your chariot. Hallelujah. You can shift your mindset. What you read, view, hear, what you input can shift your mindset and pollute your waters if your source is not salty. Come on, somebody. Don't just pray for external rain. Be the salt that heals. You are the salt of the earth, and it will heal the barrenness and the bitterness. Hallelujah. Do I have any salt shakers in here today? People who can bring healing to water that has been polluted by voices of negativity. Man, I cancel every negative voice over this house this morning. every trick of the mind, every bit of, you know, we were sharing with some of the girls the other night saying, you know, my anxiety. Oh, no, anxiety does not belong to me. My sickness does not belong to me. It's not my poverty. It's not my despair. It's not my discouragement. That does not belong to me. And when I receive it as mine and I embrace it, it pollutes the waters that God wants to stir to bring healing. Am I preaching to anybody beside myself in the house this morning? I mean, sometimes I got to stir up my faith. I got to get in the Word. I got to listen. Somebody's preaching some truth. I got to shift some things, where I quit looking at earthly things and I start looking to the heavens, to Him that who is in control, to Him who is the healer of all things. And we preach it and we declare it and we believe it, but how easily we can get unsettled in our spirit by what we let enter our gates, our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our heart. Said, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting door, for the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord strong and mighty in battle, Selah. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Hallelujah. I mean, you know what happens? Sometimes we shut the gates to the one we're supposed to be letting in. Right? How often do we run from the presence of the Lord when should be running right smack dab into it? And so, on the day of Pentecost, we talked about when the power of Pentecost was fully come. And so they were in the upper room in one accord. And there came a sound from heaven, and Beth already preached this to you, so I'll skip this one. But it sat upon them, and it rested. I love it. Come on, somebody. It rested. Somebody needs to reach out and say, I'll take that. It rested upon them, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they walked out of that place, and Peter preached the greatest message. One of the greatest messages was ever preached, and 3,000 souls get saved. When the law was given on Sinai, 3,000 souls dropped dead. But when grace and truth and the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit was preached on Pentecost, 3,000 souls got saved. They didn't stop there. They went to the temple and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. As I was praying across this platform this morning, I said, such as I have. I was reminded that such as I have, give I thee, not in my own strength, not in my own power, but the power of what? Of what they had just received on the day of Pentecost. The prayer language. Because the Scripture says when you don't even know how to pray, am I the only one in the house that just don't have the words to articulate sometimes what's in my spirit and what I want God to do? But the Word promises me that when I don't even know how to pray, that the Spirit itself will make groanings, intercessions for me that I can't even utter, and it takes over and starts to pray for me. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. How many know He wants to baptize with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance? It's not spooky, it's not weird, but it is powerful. Hallelujah. And so Obadiah was the guy that was in the story with Elisha. And he was thought to be the husband of the woman, the widow, who the debtors were coming. In 2 Kings chapter 4, I'm going to read it quick. Now there came a certain man of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto me my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? I want to ask you this morning, what do you have in the house? What's in your house? What's already in your vessel? What's already in your belly? What's in your house? And she said, tell me what's in your house. And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. I don't have much. I don't have anything to offer. I don't pray like that one. I don't prophesy like that one. I got fear and anxiety. I don't really have anything in the house. She underestimated the power of the force. Come on, somebody. What is in your house? God wants to take what's already in your house and begin to multiply it. I don't have anything save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door. I mean, I know you got to shut the door to some things. Shut the door to the debtor. Shut the door to the creditor. Shut the door to the negativity. Shut the door to death. Shut the door to poverty and despair. Shut the door. Come into the house and shut the door upon thee and thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, not just herself, but upon her sons, her family, her house. Shut the door to the voices that are shaking you, that are bringing fear, that are causing your stress. Shut the door. Who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me another vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay the debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. She said, I'm empty. I have nothing in the house. His remedy to that was, then go get somebody to pour into. What? What? Go get somebody to pour into. But I'm empty. No, you're not. He tells her, he said, what's in your house? That's our challenge to us this morning. What's in your house? She said, I just have a little bit of oil. I mean, no, there is no little Holy Ghost. You need to hear that again. There is no little Holy Ghost. The same Spirit that raised Christ, come on, say it with me, from the dead, dwells in you, and it will quicken your mortal body. That oil, that anointing is in you. What did she forget to do? She forgot to pour it out. You know what? God will not fill up a vessel with a mixture of old and new oil. You know why the widow's barrel was empty and her cruse was empty? You know why he asked her for the last crumbs that she had? What man of God would ask for the last little cake you've got when you're taking it out of the mouth of a widow's son? But the scripture tells us that God had prepared a widow woman to sustain him. And he goes and says, go get me a drink. And instead of her saying, man of God, we're in a drought. We're in a famine. And as a matter of fact, it's your fault. You brought it. But out of obedience to the prophetic word, come on, somebody. I'm not just talking about saying, thus saith the Lord, but I'm talking about the prophetic word of the Lord. In obedience to the word, she went to get the drink. And while she was on her way, he said, and give me that little bit of crumbs that's left in your barrel and make me a cake. At that point, she turns and says, man of God, I have a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal, and we're going to eat this and die. The man of God says, go get me some sticks and go get me the cruse and the oil and bring it to me. Why? Because God cleared out everything in that barrel that was yesterday. Some of you all need to hear that. He cleaned out everything in that barrel that was yesterday because he never puts new wine into old wineskins. Come on, somebody. You need to stand on your feet this morning and rejoice and shout. No, really, go ahead and stand on your feet this morning and rejoice and shout because he does not put an old oil negative report that's ever come back, and I refuse to change my posture in view of what somebody else sees in the heavens. Come on, somebody, that ought to make you shout. You need to prepare your chariot and get yourself ready, because God wants to water the earth, but He's not looking for external rain. He's looking for a river to flow out of you. I mean, you know, in the Garden of Eden, there were four rivers. Pison, Gihon, Hiddekel, Euphrates were the four rivers that flowed out of Edom, and they flowed every direction. And God's design and intention was always to water the earth with the dew that came from within. There's something greater even than the water, and that's the oil and the anointing of the flow of the Holy Spirit. I challenge you, if you've not received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I want you to start seeking it. If you don't understand it, it's okay. It's not spooky, it's not weird, it's not scary. But one of the things that happens in our church camp, kids get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost as the Spirit gives them utter. And I want you to pray that over our house this morning, that God, as these kids come in, because what's not going to change them is not going to be what I preach or what's preached or what we sing. The anointing will break the yoke, but what will change them is an encounter with Jesus and an encounter with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because when He begins to move, He leads and guides into all truth. And they become the salt of the earth. These altars are always open to receive that from the hand of God. My dad was seeking the Holy Ghost. He said, I don't know if I got it or not. And my Aunt Eva was at my grandma's house. And she said, you come on over. And you just... He was talking to the grandma and my Aunt Eva, and he said, I don't know if I got it or not. She said, you just go ahead and speak, and I'll tell you if that's it. And he said, I just started to release it. And she said, that's it. That's it. That's all you got to do. It's not something that God's just speaking words in your ears. It's a prophetic utterance that comes out of your praise. And God will fill you with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but our desire has to be towards that. I mean, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have already taken up their abode in you. The Spirit of God resides in you, but the manifestation of the prayer language and the fire, the dunamis fire, and that rest that's set upon them comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. I know I did not do that justice this morning. There's so many more things we could say with that. I want to tell you, quit living out of an external climate. Quit living out of an external climate. I don't care what the report says. Go again. Go again. Do not change your posture. Do not change a posture regardless of what you hear. But prepare your chariot for rain, says the Lord. Jim, I speak peace over you. There's a lot of uncertainty just with job situations, family, moms, dads, all those things. But I declare that you are a well. You are a garden closed, my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up and a fountain sealed. And today, God, we release the seal of the anointing of the Holy Spirit to flow out of this house, out of this man, Lord, as he stands as a priest in his house. God, we declare the salt of the earth. Lord, we refuse to change our posture regardless of reports. And we refuse to silence the roar of the lion that's in him. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. There is a stirring of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's been on you for some time. And a desire for something even greater and next level. And Father, I stir up the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit on this man of God. And decree and declare, Lord, that you are doing exceedingly abundantly above all you can even ask or think. Lord, that no weapon formed against him can prosper in any way, but the anointing and stirring of the Holy Spirit becomes so evident, God, that it shows up in his house, it shows up in his car, it shows up in his garage if he has one, it shows up everywhere that he goes. The stirring of the Holy Spirit does not leave him until he feels the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit manifest in his body in Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. The altar is open. If you need prayer, you need resources, you need anything, do not leave here today without it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thousand generations bowing down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone